The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. And we do that every single week and sometimes twice a week by sharing the stories and advice of those rocking it on the other side. And this week, we have a very special guest. We have the number one copywriter in the world. This is ranked by DNAD, Design and Art Direction. They have a ranking list by category and different roles in advertising. I looked at the list, went to copywriters, and I saw number one on that list was Claudia Ian. And I reached out to her on LinkedIn, sent a note, and she agreed to come on. So that's what you're going to listen to today. Claudia is a copywriter at Marcel Worldwide. We had Marcel Worldwide's chief creative officer, Gaetan Dupelo, on the show recently. If you haven't listened to his episode, he talks a lot about Marcel, their approach, why they're amazing, why he's amazing, and he really, truly is amazing. But this episode, we talk directly with Claudia on being a copywriter, how to break in as a copywriter, how to thrive in as a copywriter. She also talks about her longevity with her art director partner, who also happens to be her husband. And what I love about this is her break-in story, where she started off working in the banking sector, doing internal and external communications. So going from banking to portfolio school to learning how to be the number one copywriter in the world. Great advice this show. So you're going to learn a lot. You're going to want to connect with her. To do that, our new system is if you leave a review on Apple Podcasts and send me a LinkedIn note, I will personally connect you with Claudia or any of our past guests. Happy to do that for you all to help you break in and thrive in advertising. Now, on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. And as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. Welcome to the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. How the heck are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have you on. I think as the intro, I recorded an intro before this, as you are the number one writer, according to DNAD, Design and Art Direction award show. It's one of the top five award shows in the world. All creatives should know it. And you were number one on that ranking list, and I had to reach out. I think it's perfect to have you on and give advice to everybody.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so honored. I think it's crazy. I'm still pinching myself, and I'm so happy also to share it with the other copywriters that I worked on with in back market. So like Aurel and Sasha and Antonin. Because they're really, really good. So it's really great to be up there with them.
And maybe a shout out to your art director partner. And who is that?
So that's Hugo Validov. And he's actually my beloved art director and my husband.
So there we go.
He's really good as well.
I love it. I love that. And did you guys meet because of advertising before? How did that work?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's Swedish and I'm Spanish. And we met in Berlin doing Miami Ad School. And then he convinced me to go to Milan to work together. And then, well, we fell in love. And here we are 8 years later, now in Paris.
It's so funny. I think I always like to clarify when I say creative partners or like partners in advertising, usually they're not romantically involved. But that's not all. I mean, sometimes
it happens.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. There's a duo, and Havas Chicago, they're married, package duo. Would you ever take another job and find a new partner, career-wise? How does I think that's a good question.
Ooh, well, actually, when you're inviting me into the podcast, that's one of the things that I was thinking about as advice for young creatives was to find your partner. I think that if you're lucky enough to find someone you work really well with, it's important to keep fighting to work together.
Yes.
Because I think that it's a bit similar for me with agencies and clients. I think that the more you work together, the more you trust each other, the more free you feel about, you know, giving feedback on ideas and, you know, sharing thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope we continue working together very long. Now it's a bit of a different situation because I'm on maternity leave. So it's the first time in years he will have to work with someone else. So that's going to be
great. Wow. Do you get jealous of that? Are you, how do you feel? Do you still step in and see what he's doing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm super busy with the baby, but so is he. But I'm still, because I love what I do.
Yeah.
So I can't fully disconnect. So whenever I hear he's been on a meeting and I'm like, oh, how did it go? And did they like this idea or that idea? Mm-hmm. And then I try to give him feedback or like work on lines with him. Yeah.
And I love how we're getting right into the advice. This is going to be like, because we already had Gaetan Dupelo on the show, who's the CEO of Marcel, where you work.
Yes.
And I think he did a great job of encapsulating the agency, what they stand for, why you guys are so great. So I'd love that we're just getting right into advice. So my next question then is, on the contrary, playing devil's advocate in a way, if you're with the same partner for so long, does that breed like same thinking? Does it like, how do you stay creative with the same person? Because sometimes these partners are with each other for the entirety of their careers, which is usually 10, 15 years in advertising, sometimes longer. But yeah, how do you prevent being stale in your thought process?
So I think, I mean, one great example of partners who are still together is Yuri and Gaetan. And I think they keep getting better and better, which is crazy. And they've been together for many, many years. For us, I think we're so different. So I think there's part of cultural background because I'm very stereotypically Spanish. I talk a lot. A very strong character. I'm a very warm person, very social. I like humor. And then my partner, he's Swedish. So he's much more, you know, rational. He likes very simple thinking, but very straightforward. He also loves humor. So I think that the fact that we're so different keeps us always being creative with one another. And I also think that sometimes, for example, when it comes to the normal briefs, we usually just work the two of us. We started working with some interns, which was also really great in terms of, you know, getting out of your comfort zone. But then we tried to do proactive thinking with different people. So, for example, we've done a lot of proactive thinking with Aurel, the guy we worked with as well for Backmarket. And mm-hmm. I think that's also a good way to continue, you know, like not always coming up with the same stuff and always having different feedback.
Right. So you getting different perspectives when possible. Interns, you said, other creatives within the agency.
Yeah.
Maybe some other friends outside of the agency as well. And then you're probably always surveying the work that's out there. What's winning and what's not winning. Yes.
Yeah.
So staying there. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense that you get that comfortability with the person. You know the ideas and the thought process in a way that you're faster.
Yeah.
And the speed today that agencies kind of require for clients, it's just getting faster. Timelines are turning way faster now. So if you have that speed, it's super important. Do you think that aspiring creatives, people in college, maybe they just graduated, maybe they're entertaining the thought of portfolio school. I know my take on portfolio school is to avoid it if possible, right? It's great, but I want people to get a good education and then break in right away.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think for those people that are trying to avoid portfolio school, should find that creative partner earlier on? Or is it good to wait to develop and see who you are and then find somebody?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, for example, in my case, I think it was better to find him earlier on because already when we were in school together, you could try to figure out who you work well with and who you don't work well with. And sometimes it's weird because you can have a great friend that you get along super well, But then when you're working together, somehow there's no creative spark. So I think that if you find that creative spark with someone while you're in school, that's really, really great, because then you can develop together.
Together.
You can learn together.
I think as soon as you figure out in your career process that you want to be an art director or copywriter, you should then start looking for that partner. Because they struggle. Students I talk to in the U.S., they decide late that they want to be a copywriter in undergraduate education, and they're trying to do it all themselves.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's tough when you don't have the Photoshop or the Creative Suite experience, and you're still learning how to write copy. And you're trying to struggle to like throw something together that looks good. It's detrimental, and it takes more time, and then you will have to go to portfolio school for sure.
For sure. I mean, I also think that for example, us, we don't work as strictly copywriter or art director. So like, of course, Hugo knows more about the programs and I know a little bit more about the wording, but a lot of times he would be the one to come up with a great headline or a great slogan. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I like to be the hovering art director because I do think I have an eye for certain things. So like I'm very, when it comes to the pixel, it's two to the right or two to the left.
Right.
I do try to help him that way, but I think it's also interesting. Like if you have more expertise on one field, but the more you work together with someone, I think that you start learning also the other side, and then you can both like bounce off each other. And I think that's also really, really nice.
I like that. How long did it take you, I guess, to get more of the art direction skills or eye developed? Mm-hmm. Was it like, as you were learning writing, you started to develop the art eye, or did that take like a couple of years that you need to lock in your style with writing first?
Yeah, for sure. I needed to lock in my style with writing first, because at the beginning, I like to write, but more on a journalistic way. It's so different from copywriting, because copywriting is much more synthesized, I would say, you know, when it comes to writing. Script, you have to be like very straight to the point. And when it comes to writing a headline, you have to, the shorter the better, I think. But it needs to have all of the ingredients, right? It needs to convey all of the things that you want to convey. It needs to be sharp. It needs to be really well understood.
You can break grammar rules too.
Like
it's not all AP style or like journalistic style. So did you start off with the journalistic study? Like, tell me more about that, and like how you got into advertising, how you broke in per se. Like where did it all start?
So it all started, I actually studied communication. At the beginning, I wanted to be an actress. I went to the same school as Penelope Cruz, but I was definitely not as good. So I didn't pursue it. And I thought that communication here in Spain is quite, you know, let's say the degree similar to that. So you do journalism or advertising and, you know, the behind the scenes. So camera work, radio, etc. for the first 3 years.
Yep. Like media communications bubble.
Exactly. I did that for 5 years, and then I graduated and I started to work, let's say, on the client side.
Oh, which client?
I worked first for Santander Bank. So it's one of the biggest banks. It's the biggest bank in Spain. And then I worked for the second biggest bank in Spain, which is BBVA. And
the banking world, nice.
The banking world, yes.
Some good money in the banking world.
Well, right after the recession, like
maybe
the
not then. So you were, and what were you doing? You were doing just communications, marketing side?
I was doing, on BBVA, I was working for a smaller company that was like a sort of startup working with big data. And so it was super tiny, but it was really cool because I got to do like internal and external communication.
Mm.
So I got to deal with agencies because we wanted to promote the company for the first time. And I remember sitting in a meeting and I thought, wow, what they do is so much cooler. Like I'm here, you know, pretending to know and saying like, oh yes, I like this, I don't like this, or this could be improved, you know? And I was only like 23 or something. And then I thought, wow, their offices are cooler. It's much better to be the person who comes up with ideas, you know, than being the person who
approves.
Yes and gives, or no,
that's,
or matches.
That's so interesting because not a lot of people start off in that marketing side role. So you got to see a bunch of ideas on the other side,
yeah,
prove of it, what works and what didn't work and what businesses wanted for this specific case. It was a small startup that you were saying. Mm-hmm. So that's a really interesting, but then to go from that power position of approving creative to transitioning to being the creative developer, how was that? What'd you do?
So I did portfolio school.
There you go. Yeah.
I did Miami at school. I thought, you know, I've already done a degree for 5 years.
Yeah.
And I thought, I read some of the reviews and I thought it was really, really interesting that for the second year, the only thing you do is work.
Mm-hmm.
Like you intern in some of the best agencies in the world. And I thought, well, that's really interesting because that's probably one of the most interesting ways to get your foot on the door. I guess that if I get an internship at a nice agency and I work really hard and I present nice ideas, then maybe I will be able to stay there, or at least we'll meet someone that could recommend me to go somewhere else.
So I'm curious, Claudia, how long were you at this bank for? And like, what made you stay at the bank? What did you love it? Did you hate it? What were your thoughts there?
I was at the bank for 2 years. And I quite enjoyed it. I think that until I came across the agency we worked with, I was happy at the bank. I was working for like a smaller startup for the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice to see it grow. Like it felt a lot like family. And then it gave me the opportunity of having a lot of responsibility from early on, which was really, really nice. So yeah, I quite enjoyed it until I met the world of advertising, and then I was like, okay, this looks cooler, and I wanted to make the switch.
Right, and then you decided to go to portfolio school.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what was like the internal thoughts around that? Did you have to tell family, friends? What was it scary for you to transition to leave something that was growing, that you were comfortable in, that you were learning? I guess making that jump is something that people will have to do whether in advertising or not. Even if they're in the account role and they want to switch to copywriter, they might have to go back to a school or take a big leap. Like that process, what was that like for you?
It was a bit scary because as you said, I was very comfortable. But I think that even though I was comfortable, I wasn't super, super happy, or like I didn't love it.
Right.
Like I was comfortable with it and I was happy living in Madrid and having my friends and being close to my family. So it felt quite scary to all of a sudden change everything, like drop my job, quit my salary, invest all of my savings in portfolio school, move cities, especially because I was moving to Berlin. So also Germany, completely different weather and starting from scratch. And again, I graduated university right after the crisis, the economic crisis. So finding a job already was quite tough. The fact that I had one and I had a salary, and then thinking about leaving that behind and again getting into the job market 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
was a bit scary. But I think that it was absolutely worth it. I think that I found myself in a moment where I thought like I'm comfortable and I'm okay, but I'm not super mm-hmm. passionate about what I do. And I have time to make the switch and love what I do every day.
I think that's so important for people to hear and that it's not easy. Could you have done it, you think, on top of the career that you had, like work on the portfolio at night, or did you need to do a complete 180?
I think I could have. I think it depends on the person. So if you feel confident that you will do it, like you will go to work and then you will go home and work on your portfolio, then you could do it that way.
Yeah.
I think that for me, it was more like I am a person that prefers to commit 100% to something.
Yeah.
If not, I get quite distracted.
Yeah.
So for me, it worked better.
To go all in.
Yeah, going all in.
And I want to hover there. Now, potentially, like advice for somebody that you know, it's hard, right? Because it financially could be burdening to switch 100%. So some people might have to work. What you can do, some other options are, you might have to leave your career if it's too demanding. If you don't have a demanding job, it's 9 to 5, you clock out, you can forget about it. I don't know what your situation was. I'm just trying to speak generally here to the audience directly. If you have a 9 to 5, that's easy. And you can work maybe during the hours on your portfolio and you have the discipline and you find 1 to 2 mentors in the industry. Mm-hmm. You look at the Crowbar Awards, which is our award show. Then that's something that is possible, especially for those that need some money. The other thing you can do is look at part-time jobs, maybe retail, maybe working nights. We see this a lot with some of our past guests as well, to mitigate some of that 9 to 5 work if you're if you need some more structure like that. So there are some other options. It does take discipline, right?
Absolutely, but you're completely right. I mean, I think that, as you said, if your job is super demanding, maybe not the best option, but it can be done. But also having a job that is maybe less demanding and then coupling that up with working on your portfolio. And I think, as you said, looking at award shows, it's super important. Mm-hmm. Like, we had some very interesting classes at Miami Ad School, but I think where you learn the most is looking at other work and trying to understand why it's good. Or like looking at interviews with people that work in the industry or or this podcast. Exactly. Yeah. Because it's super interesting when, you know, they explain why they did that and why they think it's great. And that's, to me, one of the best ways to learn. And we do that still. Like, I think Hugo and I and the other creatives at the agency, whenever there's the time of award shows, we would sit together and review the shortlist and the things that have won and comment on why we think it's good or what we think could be improved or, you know.
Yeah.
And we also try to ask Yuri and Gaetan as well for their opinion when we are like, oh, this piece won a lot and we don't really understand, or like this we thought was really great and it didn't grab so much. And we also try to ask more senior talent to explain why and what are their thoughts.
Right. So, and that's why I try to connect every listener with our guests. And if they reach out to me, I'm happy to connect them with like some of the best talent. And they might be busy, but you might get like 20, 30 minutes with somebody that's a CCO or like somebody like you, Claudia, that can offer some golden advice that can mitigate the need for a portfolio school completely. And there's some other options out there online, like options and like one-off night classes and stuff like that. But I really think like the Crowbar Award specifically, and or any like Young Shits or these other brief systems out there where they're giving you a brief. I mean, we do a brief every quarter. We think that's the perfect timeline where you can work on that with up to 2 people.
And, absolutely. That's such a good opportunity.
And it's a good time frame. So there are other options out there, but I think that you went all in. I respect this. It is a for sure fire way to immerse yourself if you can financially afford it and you have the time. And it's not easy for everybody, so I acknowledge that. But if you can, then I'm always a proponent. Like, go and invest in your future. Make that commitment if you can. But we try to mitigate that and try to find some other ways to do that. So you went to portfolio school. You met your future husband there. Is that correct? So that's another, hey, I might have to go to portfolio school just for that. I'm struggling a little bit in that department, but that's a different podcast. And then I guess you got the fundamentals down. Where was that internship that they promised you?
So I went to... 360i New York.
Oh, what's that now? Is that still a thing?
I don't know, actually. I mean, back then it was quite interesting because they had the Oreo account. Mm. So that was really, I mean, the digital part of the Oreo account, but also HBO. And it was the time of the beginning of Game of Thrones. So that was really, really fun. Yeah. And then I did McCann London, which was awesome.
You got 2 internships throughout through Miami?
I got 3. Yeah, I got 3.
Do you need 3?
Yeah, because the second year, the only thing you do is intern. So you switch every 10 weeks.
So could you have gotten a full-time offer from, let's say, your first one was 360i? Let's just speak theoretically. Could they have offered you and you would be like, okay, I'm taking it, and then withdraw from Miami? And they probably get that a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if there's the job opportunity and you like the place,
you're
and
gonna
you get
take
the
it.
job offer, of course. Like, what? I mean, you've already done the first year, that is more the theory, etc. And now that's your moment to like
theory.
network and learn how to, you know, do your job. So 100%.
I love that. So then, and then you had three. So then you had McCann, and then what was the third one?
Ogilvy, Sao Paulo. I think you actually had on your podcast my previous boss, Rafa. Yeah.
Rafa Donato.
Rafa Donato. Yeah.
Yeah. He's intense. He's good.
He is really good. He was really fun.
He was fun.
I don't know if he will remember me because I think he saw his fair share of interns, but I didn't want to leave Ogilvy, Sao Paulo. I love the city as well. So
everybody should listen to him. He's on, he's at David now, a chief creative officer there.
Yeah.
And he's brilliant. I mean, those Brazilians, they're just good.
They're so good. I mean,
they're good.
The competition there was insane. Like, everybody was super friendly. But I remember, like, sitting next to the assistant to the art director, looking at them do Photoshop. And for me, it was like watching a magic show. It was insane, the things they could do, and so fast. It was so entertaining.
They don't mess around. And I think that's what I love about Miami Ad School. Like, Buchin Jung is our creative lead on Breaking Entering. And he's been with me for 4 years. I saw him as an undergrad. And I can personally attest, I saw him. I was very close to them in undergrad at University of Illinois. And he was good and fast. He's always been fast, which is one of my favorite traits in a creative. But when he went to Miami Ad School, he became insanely fast, but also insanely effective and with craft. And in whether it was 1 year or 2 years, I forget, but he just was able to flip it and become so much just higher level. And I think that's what really helps out with Miami. And maybe because of that Brazilian mindset, or like, I think he had some Brazilian like instructors of just being speedy, creative, ambitious. And I'm sure where you're from as well, you kind of breed that as well. So did you end up taking any of those internships as a full-time?
No, I went back to finish my portfolio in Berlin. And then I did what they have in Miami Ad School that's interesting is that they have this thing called screenings. So basically, you do a sort of like speed dating, but it's interview. So a speed interview.
Yeah.
Or like you have like 5 to 10 minutes with each agency that they have invited.
In person.
So it's really nice. It's quite intense because in the end, you end up talking about yourself and your work constantly for like a day and a half. And it's quite hard not to be like a robot where like you present everything on the same way and you talk about every project the same way. But you get to meet really nice people. Yeah.
And what happened because of that?
Well, what happened was that on the last day of interviews, most of the agencies that went there were German, because I mean, it was in Hamburg. And I think that most of the people that did the interviews, they wanted to end up at the German agency. So back then it was like Kohler Rebbe or like DDB, you know, or Jung von Matt. But the last day of the interviews, there was the ECDs from Publicis Milan, which right now is top of the world, like insane. But back then it was known, but not as known as it is now. And Italy was not known to be, you know, the country for advertising. But my art director had done research on the two ECDs and he'd seen the portfolio, and the portfolio was really, really good. So he said, no, we have to go, we have to meet them because they have a really good portfolio. At the very least, we should show them our work and see what they think. And that was Marco and Luca. So we did the interview and they told us like, look, we've just gotten this really big account. And if you come to the agency, no matter if you're a junior, an intern or a CD, you will get to pitch ideas for every brief.
What was the account?
Heineken.
Yes. Yes. It's all coming together now. And you did your research. And so let me clarify, you at first, it didn't have the notoriety and the prestige, but you did some research and you noticed that these two creatives, what are their names? Marco and Luca?
Marco and Luca, yeah.
What are their last names? Do you know?
Marco Venturelli, who's now president in Publicis Conseil in Paris. And Luca Cinquepalmi, he's still in Italy.
We might have to have them on the show.
Yeah, they're really good and super smart.
Yeah. And but you did your research.
Yeah.
You did your research, and some people don't do this. They get hung up on the name of and what they think of it historically in the last decade or so. But you did your research. You noticed there, and then an opportunity came up. And that's a really, really powerful lesson that I'm trying to preach to my listeners. So I appreciate you reinforcing that. Look it up. And then they also had this opportunity. It's timing, right? They just won this. Sometimes you can have the best book in the world as an aspiring creative, and sometimes they're just not hiring and they haven't won an account yet and they can't fit you in. But you had the timing. You were at the right place, the right time. You were prepared. So did they end up offering you?
Yes. And I think that coming back to what you were saying about advice, I think that for us, like Hugh and I have always chosen where to go, not based on the name of the agency, but based on the people we would work for.
Boom.
100%.
Love it.
And it's not just the portfolio, right? Like you see on the portfolio, the kind of work they like to do, which is also really interesting to see if it matches, you know, like if it's things that
your style.
Love, you know?
Yeah.
And like you find fun or you find really insightful, you know? And I think also when you do the interview with them, you can see if there's a click, and you can also see, and it might sound really silly, but I think it's important. And I think Aitan would tell you the same. You can see if they're good people, because I think you're going to spend a lot of time working together and you're going to be, you know, sharing ideas and working on projects that feel really personal to you. So I think it's really important as well to, you know, find the right person you would work for. So for us, definitely we did the research, and Mark and Luca had really nice portfolios. Then there was the opportunity to work on Heineken, and even as a junior pitching ideas for the big TVCs, which is not common, and they would listen to it, like they would take the time.
Yeah.
And also, there was Christiana and Bruno, who were the CCOs at the agency, and they had a very clear vision of what they wanted to do with the agency, and they've done it. And they also had really, really good portfolios. And I mean, while I was in university studying communications, they showed this case really for Heineken, the auditorium, which is, I mean, it was one of the first, I think one of the first like prank advertising. And it was so popular, like everybody
What's
knew
it called?
The auditorium.
Look it up, everybody. That's homework. Yeah. Love it. I'll have to look this up.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really fun, and it was them who did it, and it was the agency. So I think all of that combined was like, we definitely need to take this job and move to Milan. And
yeah, nothing wrong with that. And they hired you, and that's how you broke in.
Exactly.
I love it. I think there's so many lessons here about shifting and pivoting from career choices to going all in, to doing the hard work, which is research, perfecting your craft, finding a creative partner. Claudia, this might be a perfect episode at that. I think, you know, international lens, it's just so, so great. I think just to hear this perspective. So I have no more questions, except for how can people contact you if they have any more questions for you and your husband, who's your creative partner, perhaps? Where can they find you?
So for sure through LinkedIn, but they can also find me on my email, which is claudiaillan@gmail.com.
Okay. We'll leave that for them to say hello, send a finished portfolio, close to finished portfolio. Don't send her like if you have one campaign that's not flat, you know, let's wait, right? I think that's a good strategy. It's like work with Gino. He'll find you somebody that can help you get it to a couple more campaigns. And then when it's in a good spot, maybe 70, 80% done and you're feeling good, then we can talk to Claudia, right?
For sure. And I would be very, very happy.
Cool. Claudia, amazing episode. Thank you so much for taking the time. It was incredible.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.